Welcome to the Advisor Advocates Podcast. My name is Garrett Lill. I'm a certified financial planner and former advisor. And I started Advisor Advocates in this podcast to share with other advisors some of the experience that I like to say I accidentally accumulated over the course of my 13-year career, especially around the areas of the industry involving transitions from one firm to the other, advisor recruiting, M&A deals, things of that nature. Interesting thing for advisors that I've experienced in my career is that advisors are often on an island. We don't really know what's out there. We don't know what's going on outside the walls of our firm and outside the confines of our own practices. Especially when I was working in the recruiting industry and talking with advisors, there were just so many advisors who didn't know what they didn't know. So the purpose of this podcast and Advisor Advocates is to help bridge that information gap, to help advisors understand a little bit more about what the landscape looks like out there, what options are available to you, and sort of share some of the insights that I've ran into and hopefully answer some of the most common questions that advisors have. Welcome to part two of the Firm Focus series. To be totally honest and in full disclosure, when I recorded the last episode, I did not realize it was going to be a three-part series at the time. But as I played it back and edited that show and really digested it all, I started to realize that I really had created probably more questions than I had offered answers in that episode. So I thought, you know what? What better way to create two more episodes than to create more confusion that you then have to unpack. So in this episode, I'm going to sort of continue and dive a little bit deeper into helping to unpack or untangle the web that I may have created in the first episode. I hope in that introduction episode that I at least provided a lot of information. I don't know that I exactly compartmentalized it in a digestible format that helped you to learn anything necessarily, but I did at least give you some food for thought. And now, hopefully, in the next two parts of the series, I can help you digest some of that food for thought. For this episode, what I want to talk about, I've said in the last show that there were two triggers or two things that had kind of evolved in the industry, one being the rise of the fiduciary standard that has created more of a need for planning teams and bringing more roles in-house and having firms that can provide more than just one type of service in one organization. And that the other was that it was much easier to become an independent now because of technological advances and just economies of scale that kind of go along with that technology. So what we're going to do for these next two parts is sort of break those down in two different categories. I think I started on the last show saying you used to, 20 years ago, you were a financial advisor. The question was just, do I want to be an employee or an independent? Keeping with that theme, this episode is going to sort of focus on what advisor-focused, team-focused, and brand-focused really means in the independent world. And then part three of this series, we will go through those same three categories, advisor-focused, team-focused, or firm-focused, in the employee side of that. And hopefully, at the end of these three parts put together, you will better understand what options are out there and hopefully have a little bit more information to make a more informed decision about what is best for you if you're an advisor, and also what are you offering if you're a firm looking to seek new advisors to grow your team. Background on this episode, first of all, I think one of the really overwhelming themes in the industry over the last 10 years or so, I guess, has been that it is much, much easier to become an independent advisor than it once was. And it's a little bit hard to pinpoint the exact reason for this. I think by and large, it is just technology. And because technology has driven down the cost of so many different things, you are now able to pay for your own technology to replace humans that you may have once needed. That's all kind of playing a role in that fee compression. And there's one side of the fee compression thing that's really interesting. I remember hearing a lot about fee compression 10 years ago. And at that time, we were really talking about fee compression at the advisor to client level, and that advisors weren't going to be able to continue to charge 1% and then put clients in mutual funds paying another 0.75% a year. And you could see mutual fund companies starting to go down on their costs, and then advisors also eventually started to go down on their costs as well. And I would say from talking to advisors, it's pretty rare that an advisor is earning 1% on their overall book. That may be sort of a starting point, but once you factor in discounts for larger clients, most advisors are not earning an overall revenue that's 1% of client assets. So you are starting to see that, but that also extends upstream to the firm side, because technology has enabled firms to deliver their value to advisors for less than it used to cost. And that's allowed payouts to increase for independent advisors. And it's allowed more advisors to be able to go independent and replace some of those technologies that they were paying to be a part of a larger captive employee channel and now create their own as an independent. So as you have more independence, you have more competition. And with more competition, what happens? That drives prices down even lower. So it really has never been easier to be an independent advisor. It used to be, I think, if you wanted to be an independent advisor, you had to be comfortable being a one-man show or being able to assemble a team to that you could lead and manage under your supervision. And now that's not necessarily the case. You can still be independent without having to be the head person on the firm. You can be independent without having to start your own business. You can be independent without having to even necessarily lose access to the big brand that you may think is helping to support your business. So I want to just kind of walk through these individually and what they mean specifically for an advisor looking at these three categories. So in the advisor-focused independent model, this is going to be the most traditional, the most familiar, the one that has been around the longest. And these are going to be independent solutions to help the individual advisor achieve their maximum amount of success possible as an independent practitioner running their own practice. These are your independent broker-dealers and your turnkey RIAs. So y'all know who most of the big players are in this industry. These are firms that if I'm an independent advisor and I want to have my own firm, but I don't want to have to register with the SEC as my own RIA, I can join their ADV as an IAR of their RIA or a registered representative of their broker-dealer or both if it's a hybrid. And then I can operate my business as a truly independent advisor. No one's telling me what to buy. No one's telling me how to manage my clients' assets. No one's telling me how much money I've got to make. I'm in charge, but I'm not having to go out and create every single thing I need from the ground up. Nowadays, these firms are even offering access to almost everything that you need as an advisor. So they're going to take care of your compliance for you as a part of their offering. They're going to provide some technology, whether that's your billing and reporting, your financial planning software. They're going to provide you at least the access to this. It may be something that is included in your payout, or it may be something that you pay for yourself, but they're getting discounts because they're bigger and they're creating licensing agreements with some of these tech providers. And now a lot of these firms are even starting to create internal mechanisms to deliver other things for their advisors as well, things like marketing and operations support. If you're an advisor maybe who doesn't want to go out and hire your own full-time admin person, or maybe you have one admin person, but you're not quite ready to hire a second one, a lot of these turnkey firms will have home office staff that is available at your disposal to be able to leverage when it comes to things like opening new accounts, transfer paperwork, things of that nature. So if you want to have your own firm, these really are plug-and-play solutions where if you are in a captive situation now, earning maybe a 40 or 45% payout, and you want to start your own firm, but you don't want to have to do everything from the ground up, basically you bring the clients and the turnkey RIAs and independent broker-dealers really supply everything else that you need as long as you can bring the clients to the table so that you can really continue to perform the same job, right? Your duties day in and day out as an independent advisor in a turnkey is really the same as when you're with a wirehouse. You are showing up to work, logging in, meeting with clients, and your technology, your marketing, your operations, your compliance, everything is really handled at the home office level. But most of these firms also give you the ability with a lot of those to leverage it in your practice instead. So if you happen to have a marketing all-star team that is better than the home office marketing support team, you certainly don't have to use their marketing programs. If you are a fantastic money manager and you do your own stock picking, you don't have to use the money management platforms that are provided by the mothership, so to speak. So you have a lot of flexibility, but these firms really exist with one objective in mind. When they get together for their leadership conferences and they talk about what their goals are to help each individual advisor build the practice for themselves that the advisor believes will give them the best opportunity to succeed. And they may be there to help guide you in some ways. If you're not sure, should I focus on this or should I focus on that? Or how, you know, should I use this technology or that technology? They will be able to provide you some feedback, but at the end of the day, they're empowering each individual advisor to build their firm, their practice the way they want. And they're just giving you the tools that are needed to do that. And they're doing it at an incredibly low cost compared to what it may have been a couple of decades ago. You don't have to spend 20% of your revenue to run your own firm nowadays. And these firms know that. So your payouts reflect that as well. If you are a truly independent using a turnkey or a plug and play solution, you're going to be looking at payouts in the 90s, depending on the size and scale of your practice. So the mindset that advisors have had for a long time is, well, yeah, but going independent, that is, there are so many things that I'm going to have to do for myself that, you know, currently are taken care of at the home office. And these turnkeys are really starting to provide most of those services for you, and including it in their payout. So it's by far so much easier now to, you know, if I want to start Garrett Lale Financial and it's my name, my brand, everything is all about me and I'm building it my way, exactly the way I want to have it from the ground up. It is so much easier to do that now than it was in the past, thanks to the rise of all of the turnkey RIAs and all the competition that creates. And that's been made possible because of the improved efficiency and technology in this industry, just like it has in everything else in the economy. I think personally, as an extension of that, you have more independent firms now, which has allowed more independent firms to become a true team type culture, to create a true team type culture. So a lot of independent firms then end up creating their own team approach to the way they run their businesses. So if you're an advisor who does want to truly have independence and true control of your business, but you really don't want to be the CEO of your own company, you really don't want that control, that's where we start to get into what I refer to as the tuck-in. I think sometimes when I say tuck-in, that gets confused a little bit with maybe the turnkey RIA model. I may be using it incorrectly, but when I think about a tuck-in model for independence, that is an opportunity for an advisor to join an organization or an ensemble of like-minded independent advisors and work as a team. But it's sort of you're not working together and you're not really working against each other either, right? You're kind of, each person's clients are their own clients for the most part. You may create revenue share agreements and revenue sharing or account splitting relationships with other advisors on your team if you wanted to team up with an advisor on a particular relationship. But each individual advisor is still owns their success, but it's as a part of an organization that's sharing resources at an even higher level. You may be sharing office space. You may be sharing an admin staff. You may be sharing marketing materials and collaborating on marketing projects and marketing events. And you may have a member of that team who is an expert at marketing. And now guess what? Every independent advisor has access to that expert marketer that's on the team. You may have a member of the team that is an expert stock picker. Guess what? Now everybody on that team has access to an expert stock picker. And really, you know, name a specialty that you can have in this industry and you can build a team or join a team that has that inside that organization. So that's sort of the independent team model, right? If the first model that we talked about was the advisor empowered or the advisor focused independent model, the team version of that is the independent tuck-in, where you're joining a team of independent advisors. You own your practice. If you don't like this team or this team isn't working out, it is super easy for you to unplug from that team and go out on your own or find another team. But at the end of the day, the value prop that you're getting from being in this model, as opposed to being a siloed advisor, is the term I hear used a lot of times, is the ability to leverage that team culture and networking that you're getting from, you know, 10 minds being greater than one kind of thing. And even when you get to the ownership level, I mean, the economics there may be the advisors may get a 70, 75, 80% payout. No, it's not quite as high as maybe a 90 or 95% payout if you're truly on your own. So that extra, you know, 15, 20% revenue is going to the team to pay for the office space, the office staff, paperwork, run the website, whatever. But a lot of times, even in that model, each individual contributor has equity in the team that they're a part of as well. So once you factor in your payout on the equity, that may get you back closer to a 90 or 95% payout. But now you're also being able to just further leverage all of the economy of scale that you're getting by combining a lot of folks together and creating a practice that is offering a more robust and wider breadth of services to your clients. Now, the third layer of this, however, is one that's a little bit sneaky. There is still an opportunity to be independent and be plugged into a mothership brand where, you know, you may really, really like the idea of having a logo on your business card that you know your clients are going to see commercials for all the time, and you're able to leverage that brand. And you may feel that being a part of that brand is worth giving up some of your compensation in, or accepting a lower payout because, as I said in the last video, you believe that 50% of what you're going to make by being affiliated with this brand is more than 90% of what you're going to make as your own standalone brand. And that's totally fine. And there are options for that nowadays. That's always been out there. And to some extent, maybe what I'm about to say has even always been out there. But just because you want to plug into that type of brand doesn't necessarily mean that you have to give up equity in your book or you have to give up ultimate control of your business. And this can take form, really, I think, in three different ways. I hate to keep going back to, you know, three different examples of everything that I say, but I do think that even in the brand-focused independent option, there are sort of three different examples of this. One is there are some firms out there where you can be a W-2 employee, receive benefits, participate in a 401k plan, have all of the benefits that come with being a W-2 employee, but contractually, you still own your book of business. It's in the contract that you own your book of business so that if you do decide to take your business elsewhere, nothing is keeping you from doing that. Well, look, in my book, that's called independent, all right? Even though it may not be an independent contract or a 1099 type relationship, if contractually you own your book of business, then as far as I'm concerned, you are independent. However, you are going to lose some of the independence by being affiliated with that brand. They may not be as open to outside business activities as you might be if you're a true 1099 or running your own firm. They may not offer quite as much collaboration with outside firms as what you might get if you're in a truly independent type of culture. But there are some situations out there where you can latch onto the mothership brand, really get to get the benefit of being affiliated with this brand that everyone is very familiar with, and you have access to maybe some proprietary products, but contractually, you don't have to give up your independence. A second way that this takes place is kind of a, this one is newer. A lot of your big brands that have always traditionally been W-2 only, and captive is the word that usually gets thrown around there. A lot of those are starting to at least explore the possibility of rolling out an independent channel. And some of them are already doing this. It's out there. This isn't, you know, secret knowledge. This isn't anything, any inside access that I have. Many of you may already know this, but my guess is that, I mean, if I had to take a guess at my, what my crystal ball says, my guess is 10 years from now, a lot of the traditional employee-only models are going to have at least some type of an option for independence. It may not go so far as to be offering a true turnkey, but I do think there's going to be an offering somewhere in their lineup for a lot of these firms that does allow their advisors to move to an independent structure where they're still able to affiliate with that brand. And then the third way that this is happening and the third way you can still be in a brand-focused independent model is with the aggregators. And I touched on this a little bit in the last show, but these aggregators are creating a lot of economy of scale. They're getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I think that there's a way to look at this to say they might be what you might call the wirehouse of the future. That's the way someone said it to me. And I don't know if that's true necessarily, but I'm not necessarily saying it's not true either. But as these aggregators get bigger and bigger, they do have more control over your practice in some cases than you might be if you were affiliated with a true turnkey. You also may still own your portion of the business, or it may be something where the aggregator bought into, you know, 20 or 30% of your business. So that's reducing your payout a little bit because you joined the aggregator and sold off part of your business. But you're also getting that leverage of that increase in size. And you're essentially bringing on a minority partner who is going to have a say in how you're going to run your business. probably a similar type of level as what you might get from being associated with one of the big brands in the wires or some of the other big national brands on the employee side. But you're getting that to be plugged into this larger brand and their economies of scale and whatnot, and also hoping that your participation in that is going to grow you at a faster rate than you would if you were on your own. As we look to the, I think that when we look at the future of the industry, the advisor's first decision is going to be, do I want to be in charge of everything? And I'm the one who's really calling the shots and I'm the one who's in control of my destiny. Do I want to be a part of a team or do I want to jump into, I'm in NASCAR country in North Carolina, right? So I like to use the analogy as kind of like hopping into the draft and you can go faster by being behind someone else who's going faster than you can on your own. Do you want to hop into the draft and tag along to somebody else who's going faster than you by being in a brand focused type of environment? That's question one. The second question is, do I want to do this in employee capacity or do I want to do it as an independent? So hopefully now I've at least helped to untangle half of that and been able my goal for the show was to kind of lay out for you, what does advisor focus look like? What does team focus look like? And what does brand focus look like if you are on the independent side of the equation? In the final part of this series, part three, I will explore what the employee model of this looks like for individuals and advisors who do want to truly have as much stability in their income. They want to show up, do their job, get paid, know what they're going to get paid, and be compensated fairly for it. And we'll explore what those models look like in the next show. Really appreciate you watching this one. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Appreciate your time. If I can help you in any way, if you have any questions, if I have not sufficiently untangled the web that I spun on the last episode for you and you'd like to have a conversation one-on-one, feel free to give me a call. My number is in the description below, 919-561-2436. Shoot me an email, garrett@theadvisoradvocates.com, or just go to theadvisoradvocates.com. And I believe if you click on the connect page, that will take you to my calendar link. Feel free to schedule time at your convenience for a phone call or a Zoom, and would love to chat with you at your convenience. Thank you again for your time. I appreciate it. See you next time.